What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Welcome into What's Burning. I got Matt, I got Stack, and coming straight from Puerto Rico, oh yes, it's DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie, how is it? Monster win for your Mets out in Puerto Rico playing the BSN. I want to know everything. What has it been like so far? The atmosphere at these games seemed crazy.
It's been a vibe, honestly. On the basketball aspect, it's good competition. It's a great fan base. The people of Puerto Rico are in love with the game of basketball, so that's incredible. Just to play in front of an energetic crowd every night, passionate crowd. The level of competition is high. It doesn't get a lot of credit, you know, from the States or that nature. I know it's considered overseas basketball, but it's a very high level of basketball, very physical league. Competitive league, so it's been great. I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying being back on the floor playing a game. Had a tough win last night. We ended up winning by one. Had a rather decent game, so I'm good on that.
Rather decent.
Yeah, he's putting up Jokic numbers. Rather decent, 31-19. Boogie, I got a question. Have you ran into any kids that look like Jack, but like brown? They'd probably be like around 22 or 23 right now. They probably speak good English.
Not yet, man.
I knew he had a few illegitimates out there. So I just wonder if you happen to, like, my dad played in the NBA. Who's your dad? Steven Jackson. Fuck out of here.
First off, that was Dominican Republic, not Puerto Rico.
He will have you know.
Yeah, I got kids in DR, not Puerto Rico.
My bad.
Boogie, what do you hope to accomplish down there when it's all said and done?
I'm just trying to win a championship. That's my goal right now. I'm taking this a day at a time. Obviously, I would love to, you know, get to a point where I can finish my career off in the league or the NBA, but right now, my focus is helping this team win games, compete for a championship, and just change this bullshit narrative that's over my name. So like I said, I'm taking it a day at a time, and we'll see what happens.
Boogie, I played overseas, bro, and I can tell a lot of people it's definitely not what they think. I enjoyed it. Just the love and appreciation from the fans. I won a championship in Pueblo Nuevo in Dominican Republic, bro, and they carried me from the game all the way back to my hotel, the whole crowd. So, like, their appreciation for winning and appreciation for the sport of basketball is unbelievable over there, bro. So, you win a championship over there, I'm telling you, you probably already got a home for life there, but you can go back there and get treated like a king for the rest of your life.
I mean,
you can have as many kids as you want, apparently.
Hey, Boog, what I wanted to ask, obviously, the game in the NBA has transitioned to a more of a guard-oriented game, but there's still bigs that are obviously winning MVPs here and putting up numbers and doing things you were doing your entire career. I personally feel, although you're my brother, there's no bias, but I just feel if we're talking straight game, there's no reason why your game shouldn't be in the NBA. Why do you personally feel like teams aren't giving you a chance, although you could still play?
Like I said, it's just a bullshit narrative. And in today's society, people don't really take the time, you know, get to know people. They base it off what they hear, what somebody else said, or somebody else's experience. So that's just what society is today. Can't be mad about it, can't blame anybody for it, but, you know, that's just the nature of what it is. So all I can do is control what I can control, be the best version of myself every day, which I'm trying to do. And I'm going to continue pushing and playing this game that I love. And whatever happens, happens. And when it's time for me to hang them up, I'm going to ride off in the sunset.
Well, you're playing against real NBA talent down there. There's a lot of guys in that league who played in this league here. So I hope that people see what you can do against serious Absolutely. Competition.
It's crazy. I literally played Brandon Knight and Terrence Jones last night. So, I mean, I'm blown away of how many NBA guys are actually playing in this league that are, you know, kind of being overlooked or, you know, swept under the rug. But it's a lot of talent in this league. And on any given night, you can get a 30 ball put on your head if you're not ready to play. So, yeah. So, there's definitely some good competition down here.
I love it. Well, I want to talk a little playoff NBA basketball because the Lakers just took a 3-1 lead in that series over the Warriors. I was at the arena last night, guys. The momentum shift in the fourth quarter was bananas. Remember, the Warriors entered that quarter up 7 points. By the time the buzzer sounded, Lonnie Walker had scored nearly as many points in the fourth as the entire Warriors team. Golden State, in fact, guys, had just one bucket in the game's final 3 minutes. Matt, I wanted to start with you. Do you think that's a credit to the Lakers' D? Is it poor shot selection from your old teammate, Stephen Clay? What do you make of the way that game ended?
I want to obviously credit the Lakers' defense. I mean, I think it's been an issue for Golden State the entire series. I think their size and their length has disrupted, you know, the flow, obviously, of Steph, although he's still been able to get his numbers. He's really had to work for it. And then obviously Clay, and I heard Steve Kerr talk about after the game, you know, that this is our mentality. You know, we live and die with these guys. You know, obviously maybe those two shots Clay would have wanted back. But I think the one thing that people aren't necessarily looking at is they're going at Steph and Clay on the defensive end, on the offensive end. Lakers are making Steph and Clay work to really tire these guys out. And you know, all these guys, you know, everyone on here, you know, can shoot and shot in the league. Tired legs are tough, especially in the fourth quarter when you're working on both ends. So I definitely credit the Lakers defense first and foremost, and then them going at them offensively as well to make these guys work. And, you know, Lonnie Walker, you know, I saw LeBron. LeBron has showed that he's human. These playoffs, I've never seen LeBron tired ever, period. On or off the court, never seen him tired. Definitely seen him tired. AD with the big first half, but only 4 shot attempts in the second half for 4 points. I'm sure it's a little disappointing for Laker fans, but Lonnie Walker is playing with the chip on his shoulder. You know, if we recall before the trade deadline, this guy was playing quality minutes, putting in good buckets, playing well, and then he got buried on the bench, and he got a little glimmer of hope last game. And then in this game, you know, not to take a shot attempt until the fourth quarter, and then literally, you know, he scored 15, the Warriors scored 17 as a team in the fourth. They don't win this game without Lonnie Walker. So happy for him that he was kind of able to unbury himself and find a rhythm. But this is going to be – obviously we'll talk about this later. But, yeah, I'll leave it there. Let these guys run with it.
Stack, what did you make of Lonnie Walker? Because it's one thing to sort of get that opportunity. We see it in the playoffs all the time, right? A guy that hasn't gotten a lot of runs suddenly gets out there. But it's one thing to get the chance. It's another thing to be ready enough to take it. What do you think he did that he was able to take the opportunity he got?
You got to salute him for staying ready. You know, being a young guy, not getting constant minutes, it can be frustrating. I've been in that position. When I first got to San Antonio, playing, not playing, being on the injury list, just sitting at the end of that bench, knowing you deserve to be on that court, it could be frustrating and it could kill your mental well. When you do get a chance, you can be out there pouting like somebody on Golden State is doing, but we're talking about Lonnie right now. Lonnie took advantage of his time. He went out there and stayed ready. And that, you know, they got the line, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. He's a perfect example of that. But somebody on Golden State team is doing exactly opposite of what he's doing. Jordan Poole. He'd been pouting the whole series. When they first went small and they didn't start him, he had a little funky attitude and showed up to the game with his energy was piss poor. His energy on defense, the way he was guarding people, the shots he was taking, it was just horrible. And with the Lakers winning the championship, they definitely need to give Jordan Poole a ring because he's definitely contributed to this series for them winning. And
Steven Jackson.
You got to give a lot of credit to the Lakers' defense, of course. You know what I'm saying? Like, AD, the way he's been clogging up the paint, the way he stepped up on the D, they could talk about him showing up the even games, not showing up the odd games, whatever it is. But he showed up defensively every game this series. Yep. And that's what's been the difference. They're not really talking about that. They're just worried about his offense. But even though they live and die raged by those threes, they got to be smart on some of them. Some of them just too outrageous when they at the key moments of this game. You know, if you look at the finals last year and the Western Conference Finals last year, they was taking those same shots, Rach, but they wasn't as erratic. They wasn't falling out of bounds. They were probably from some of those was the same range, but they were good looks. They wasn't 7-footers flying at them and contesting those shots. So they got to look at their shot selection too, because a lot of those shots were just crazy.
What did you make of that, Bug, and the Jordan Poole situation as well? Because, look, he only played 10 minutes. I want to ask you guys about that. I mean, Jordan Poole is a good basketball player, but his confidence and body language has not been great lately. And obviously, offensively, he's just struggled, Boogie.
Well, what you got to understand about playing for a championship and playing championship basketball, every night isn't going to be a night, but you have to know that as a player and as a teammate. So with that being said, you have to find other ways to contribute to the game and affect the game. And credit to Anthony Davis, because he's been a prime example of that. He's had games where he's struggled offensively, but it doesn't determine how he impacts the game defensively. And this is who he is. This is who he's always been. We could take it all the way back to his championship game with the University of Kentucky. He struggled offensively in that game. His message to the team was, y'all handle the offense, and I'll make sure nobody scores on this end. And they ended up winning the championship. Ooh. So with that being said, it's levels to this thing. And you have to understand, at some point, it may not be my night, but what can I bring to the team? And I think that's the struggle that Jordan Poole is having. And on top of that, it's the bad body language, it's the pouting, it's the shitty attitude, and also not wanting to be critiqued by, you know, your veterans, the guys that have done this over and over and over again. It's been a clip where, you know, he kind of snatched away from Draymond. We know what the narrative is. Draymond's this bully, yada, yada, yada. But that was a prime example of what, you know, really is going on between those two. It's a big brother, little brother relationship. And sometimes the little brother gets out of line. You got to fall back in line and listen to your big brother. But I think it's a very fixable situation. It's just upon Jordan Poole to want to do it and understand what the bigger picture is, which is winning a championship. So it's on him.
But I also think, Rachel, and, you know, obviously I was never fortunate enough to get the type of money he got, but it's only natural.
You did
to,
okay, Matt.
Right. It's only natural to shit. It's only natural to kind of, you know, that kind of money is life changing. And, you know, does he think because he has that kind of money, he doesn't have to listen, or he doesn't have to fall in line, or he can march to his own beat? You know what I mean? And again, this is all speculation or just guessing, but trying to figure out why someone who is so talented hasn't been able to affect the game in any way. You know, normally you say, hey, it's an off night. You know, what else can you do? I always tell my kids that I coach, if the best thing you do is taking away, how else can you affect the game? But he's been a target. I mean, even back to the Sacramento series, whoever he guarded, it was ISO and go downhill on him because he's not going to guard. when he has the ball offensively, your shot's not going, his decision-making comes into play. We're just careless turnovers, understanding how important each possession is in the playoffs. You can't just throw the ball away. So I feel like, obviously, like Boogie said, it's a fixable situation. It's going to be upon him, and I just hope he has someone in his corner that he does listen to and that can helpfully help him lift this energy he has on him, because although it's 3-1, if any team can come back from 3-1, it's this dynasty. But they're going to need Jordan Poole to contribute somehow, some way. I mean, Steph is busting his ass every single night, running 2 miles a game. He had triple-double last night. Obviously, Klay struggled a little bit, but Klay and Jordan Poole are going to have to do something if this team has a chance to come back from this deficit. I trust Matt. In Klay, because Klay's been there. Klay's gone through rough strouts, and then he'll break out and give you a 40-piece. Because he's a consummate pro. Jordan Poole is younger, so he may not understand how to handle these playoff struggles, because the playoff struggles are a lot different than regular season struggles. So in order for this team to make a move, Jordan Poole is going to have to do something, and I hope that he's able to figure that out as a player before it's too late.
Yeah, Matt, you bring up Steph. Like, he had scratches all over his face last night post-game. It was really interesting to see how physical they are being with him. And of course, that's been the book for any LeBron team on Steph, right? But I want to shout out Darvin Ham, because I don't think he gets enough credit. I think anyone who coaches a LeBron, Anthony Davis team, everyone just feels like, oh yeah, the coach is just sitting there. I feel like the defensive backbone that Darvin has instilled in this squad, you can see it everywhere. I mean, I covered Darvin's Pistons team. Like, I know the attitude that he brings to that side of the ball. And I feel like that has been so key in this run since the trade deadline, and certainly in this series. Stack, you see it, right? I mean, it's not just what the Warriors are or aren't doing. The Lakers are forcing them into this a lot of the time.
Yeah, and Darvin Ham is being super smart. I mean, hey, Steve Kerr, if you want to play two non-shooters, cool. We're going to let LeBron and AD just sit in the paint on y'all. And force Klay and Steph to force Klay to be a playmaker. That's why Klay getting all these turnovers, because they forcing Klay to be a playmaker. They forcing him down on them pick and roll, on them screens, so he ain't coming off for a clear shot. So now you got to put the ball down and try to make a play. Klay ain't used to doing that. So that's why he's getting all those turnovers, right? So they just sending them to Klay and LeBron, and they not being able to finish over them. And you have Gary Payton, you have Draymond, you have Looney, all these guys on the court together that really don't want to shoot the ball. So it's easy to play 3-on-5 on defense, right? So Darvin Ham is really exploiting that. And I think Steve Kerr needs to look at having at least 4 shooters on the court and not 2 or 3, because it's easy for them to guard that.
I will say, obviously, with this being 3-1 and it's fully in the Lakers' control, they need to end this series sooner than later, because they are exhausted out there. LeBron is exhausted out there. I think his tongue is probably sticking to the roof of his mouth at times, like cotton mouth. The one thing I will say, and you touched on it, Boog, I was so impressed with the way that AD was able to stay in front of Steph those last few possessions, because normally Steph is so herky-jerky, but AD is just so long. Although Steph may get him off balance at a second, he's still long enough to contest and make it a tough shot. So AD's ability to stay in front of Steph, which not too many people in the world can do at AD size, and still make it tough for Steph to shoot, because Steph is used to getting his motion is right here, but he's having to shoot the thing way higher than normal, because he knows if he doesn't get it up, AD's going to block that shit. So I definitely want to give AD credit where he deserves, because he has been, and Jack, you said it, one thing he's shown up every single night in this series is he's shown up on the defensive, and an ability in the fourth quarter to switch out on one of the most elusive guys and the greatest shooter we've ever seen and make him take tough shots. You got to credit that.
Yeah, Boogie, you've seen AD grow so much in that area. I mean, you played with him. You know him so well.
I mean, like I said, I've seen this time and time again. And like I said earlier, it dates back all the way to his UK days. The guy understands the game. He understands how to play it. Mm-hmm. He understands how to win. He's super unselfish with just him being the superstar he is, making $30, $40 million a year and still being able to say, hey, you guys handle the offense. I'll lock down everything on the defensive end. That's a championship player. That's championship basketball. So kudos to him. And, hopefully we can continue to see this great play from him.
Well, it's going to be interesting, right? Because, Matt, you say their interest is to wrap up this series. You got on the other side, you got the Heat and Jimmy Butler just flat out taking advantage of the Knicks in every possible way. They're up 3-1 as well. Just another win from the Eastern Conference Finals, which, by the way, the last time an eighth seed got to the Conference Finals was the 1999 Knicks. And we know they got all the way to the finals. So who do you think you have more confidence in right now in terms of 3-1 leads, Boogie? The Heat or the Lakers?
With the Heat. I mean, they're outright dominating the Knicks. Their toughness is, I mean, we know the Heat's foundation is defense, is toughness, and this is the perfect stage for it during the playoffs. So they're just flat out toughening and outplaying the Knicks. When it comes to the Lakers and Warriors, you got to give credit to your Warriors. They've been here before. They've done it before. They're literally the most dangerous team in the NBA. They can get hot at any time, and the whole series can change. So I definitely think the Heat are in a more comfortable position.
Yeah, I agree. Jimmy Butler's just been the best player by far in this series. He's just been dominating on both ends of the court. I like Brunson, but I just think the Knicks still are two players away. You know, Barrett is cool. Randall game, it's getting exploited now. He's able to do certain things in regular season, but when they take things away, he don't really have too many counters to his game. His game is real stiff. But he dominated regular season, but this is the level goes up each round, and I don't think his game has grown enough to carry the Knicks out of this round yet. I think he still has some growing to do offensively. But Jimmy Butler's just dictating everything on the court offensively for his team. He got his team confident. They are definitely the more aggressive team, but Brunson definitely needs more help out there. He's playing hard, but the other guys on the team, especially with Quickly being out, the other guys on the team don't have enough to help them, especially get a win on the road. Going at home this next game, I think Jimmy and Miami Heat smell blood. I think they're going to the Garden for a big game to go ahead and get some rest so they can be ready for the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's crazy what Miami's doing, because if we look at the other low seeds on the West, say, who have been upsetting higher seeds, the Warriors, they got Andrew Wiggins back, right? So you can see why things have changed for them. The Lakers made that huge series of midseason trades, and you can see why things have gotten better for them. The Miami Heat have lost players. They've lost guys to injury, right? Tyler Herro got knocked out in that Bucks series, and yet here they are, poised to do something no team has done in 25 years. Obviously, Jimmy Butler has been possibly the best player in this entire postseason so far. Eric Spoelstra, you got to give him so much credit for the way he is coaching. I just think it's remarkable. If you look at this team, they barely made it out of the play-in. They lost their first play-in game. They could have not been in these playoffs at all. And Matt, look what they've done.
It forced them to play one of their key players who have championship experience, Kyle Lowry. Mm-hmm. It's forced to play him more and rely on him. And he's been a big difference, Rach. He's been a big difference for them, being able to play more minutes now, being able to rely on him to run the show and make big shots. I think that's really helped them more than hurt them.
And I think, too, Jack, to your point, he's been able to be that calming presence with that second unit. He's been able to run that second unit. They've been getting a lot of production with their bench, with the Martin kid, and there's been a Duncan Robinson sighting. But I think you hit it, Rachel. I don't think Spoelstra gets enough credit. Obviously, Jimmy is one of the greatest competitors the game has ever seen. Right now, it's mental for Jimmy, because he's fighting through these injuries, but we could never tell that he had a terrible ankle sprain. Like, it's all mental for Jimmy. He's on his Mamba shit right now. I tweeted yesterday during the game, why with a team who's scoring such as the Knicks, I have a hard time, and I didn't know the kid's name, and I wasn't trying to disrespect, I think his name is McBride. I wasn't familiar with this game, but it's hard for me to believe that Derrick Rose can't give you nothing. It's hard for me to believe a team that's scoring that Evan Fournier can't give you nothing. You know what I mean? Like, there's guys sitting on the bench that have proven that they can put the ball in the basket. And I don't want to hear neither of these guys play defense, because no one's fucking playing defense out there for New York. So I don't want to care. I don't care about the defense. They need some scoring. But, you know, to answer your question, I definitely trust Miami with this. We all know that, like Shaq says, you need the others, but your superstars have to carry you in the playoffs. And the Knicks don't have any superstars yet. I think Jalen Brunson is a star in learning what becoming a superstar means night in, night out, to be able to carry your team. Julius Randle with the bad high ankle sprain going into the playoffs, I don't feel like he's really found any rhythm. And then, like Jack said, when they're able to take stuff away from him, he doesn't really have the ability to counter. So, you know, I think Miami will close this out. If it's not next game, it'll be for sure back in Miami. and be able to advance to the Eastern Finals. And then again, like I said earlier, the Lakers need to finish the Warriors off sooner than later, because if the game goes seven, I'm going to trust the Warriors, their pace and their ability to get hot at any second to win this series.
And in their own building, too. We got to remember where this series will end up if it ends up in a game seven.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because he didn't need it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Let's switch over on the other part of the West. Nuggets, Suns knotted up at 2-2. First of all, I want to give our guy Jamal Crawford credit. When Phoenix was down 0-2, he insisted the Suns were going to come back. So shout out Jamal for that. And shout out to Phoenix, since the Suns won game 4 despite Joker dropping 53 points. KD and Book, I mean, incredible in game 4. Very efficient, 72 points combined, which is a crazy sentence to say. And I would say you can't depend on those two guys to do that every game. But guys, Devin Booker has been pretty much doing this every game. He just had the best two-game shooting performance of the last decade. So what do you think, Boogie? Can the Suns rely on KD and D Book to get them through here?
I believe so. Well, we all know what Kevin Durant is, so I mean, his talent speaks for itself. Devin Booker is still a guy trying to, you know, kind of prove and make his name in this league. He's basically a superstar, but he's still trying to get to that next level with the KDs, the LeBrons, and those types. So this is a great stage for him as well. With the absence of CP, this is a step for him to be able to step up into a leadership role and push his team to new heights. But they're performing at an all-time high. They're playing championship basketball. There's no doubt in my mind they can push this team to the next round. So I can see them getting past Denver.
I think it got a lot to do with guys like Shamit and the other key players, the point guard. Because if you look at it, Rach, even though Booker and KD having these big games, you put Murray and Jokic points together, they still outscoring them.
Yeah,
they still scoring more points if you combine them. So it's a supporting cast to me. You know, the big shot Shamit came and made. The other guys is coming in defensively, making it harder on Murray and Jokic. Just at least they trying. I think Gordon has to give Denver more. If he don't give them more, he's doing an okay job on defense. But you know, you can't stop KD. You got to give them something on offense. You can't rely too much on Bruce Brown. He's going to be your energy guy. He's going to get you some tip ins, some rebounds, some big plays because he played with a lot of energy. Gordon has to give them more on the offensive end, because if not, they're definitely going home.
I would also say to piggyback on, I think Michael Porter Jr. needs to give them more on the offensive end as well. To Phoenix's credit, and I guess Monty Williams' ability to wake up, he had to go to that bench. I mean, he has scoring on that bench. He has Terrence Ross. Yes. He has TJ Warren. We speak to Lonnie Walker's heroics last night, and we definitely want to shout him out. But the Phoenix Suns don't win without Shamit. Last game, mm-hmm. His ability to have 17 points, and I think he had three straight threes, mm-hmm. four out of five threes in the fourth quarter. He was huge. So I think his Monty's ability to trust his bench was important. But then I want to touch on another person that I kind of feel like is on some Jordan Poole type shit, and that's Ayton.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, he's so getting talk, his
speak
ass,
on it. What do you got?
He's getting his ass toasted every single game. Outplayed, and we're not, I don't even think it's high expectations. I don't even say this with no disrespect. They're not expecting him to give them Jokic numbers, but bro, you just got paid. You got to give them some kind of numbers. And I feel like, and to be honest with you, I feel like they're better when they have the other dude out there. What's the other dude? The Euro dude with the shaved head on the side.
Lindell.
He got like a mohawk, like a mullet. Yeah.
Lindell.
Bro, he plays so hard out there, and he crashes the glass, and he doesn't care about getting touches. He gets his points where they come. Ayton is out there acting like a little prima donna, you know what I mean? Like not shaking people's hands and having an attitude when you get pulled out of the game. But bro, you're not doing shit. Like, you're not doing nothing when you're out there, but then you want to whine and complain and have bad energy. And I remember this is why Phoenix didn't necessarily want to give him money.
It makes sense now.
I know that they didn't necessarily want to give him money when contract time came up, because of they didn't know that he was already a handful to handle. They didn't know how he was going to act with the bag. And now he's got the bag, and he's acting funny again. So, again, this is not to knock him because they need him, but he's not giving them anything out there. He's not giving them anything, and we know what Booker and we know what KD are going to do, but these others that we mentioned. But I think the most important other is Ayton, because Ayton is a very solid double-double, should be an 18-12 guy. They're not expecting him to score 50 or 40 like Jokic. There's the reason why Jokic is the form, you know, reigning MVP. They just need him to come out and give me 16 to 18, 12 rebounds, and just be someone who's going to block shots and change. And I think he's so worried about the other shit that he's not giving them too much of anything. So shout out to Monty for not falling for the shit. You know, he's playing that other guy when he feels like he needs to play him. He played him down the stretch and had Ayton mad. But at the end of the day, man, it's about winning. It's that singular goal, you know, that everyone wants to get to. So without CP, without Ayton giving them very minimal, Booker and KD have been absolutely amazing, but on the flip side, so have Murray and Jokic. And this has been a really, really fun series. So there's some guys that have to step up on both sides, but as far as star power in this game, the stars have given everything that they have, and it's been fun to watch.
Piggybacking off of Matt, definitely has to get his head out of his ass. This is also a former number one pick, so to say there aren't any expectations for him, that's just a damn lie. I'm expecting 20 and 10 from him every night. Not because he's specifically the number one pick, because he has the ability to do so, and it's up to him to go do it.
Yes.
He's nicknaming himself dominating and all that. Well, go show me you can dominate a game. That's what those are my expectations from you, and I haven't seen it thus far. So you know, all the criticism and all the, you know, the bad pub he's getting right now is well deserved. It's up to him to step up his game and go contribute to helping this team win a championship.
Because we all know one or two big games would change the whole narrative.
Change.
You know, the media is all about narratives. And you go out there and be that dominating. And what, you go out there and be that dominating that you named yourself, and the whole narrative changes, and you put yourself, your team, in a position to advance to the next round.
Yeah, I believe DeAndre Ayton can be a presence in this league. I just do. I just need him to do it.
It's a mindset thing.
Sixers Celtics guys locked at 2-2, also headed into game five. The Sixers, they got a very good look at their investment in James Harden, right? Two clutch signature James Harden games. Here's a great stat. James Harden was 1-for-10 on three-point attempts in the last 30 seconds of playoff games going into this series, and he's nailed two of them to win games and during this series. So he has changed some of his narrative around. But what do you guys think, Stack? Is this the point where if he plays well, the Sixers win? Or is this actually on Embiid at this point in Game 5 to come out and just lay down a monster MVP game?
Well, just let me say this too, Rach. I think I'm not taking away anything from Boston's coach now, but I think when Ime was there, they paid more attention to detail. You know, Ime came from that San Antonio cloth where I came out of, and I know how important the scouting reports that's sitting on your locker coming before every game that you have to read to know every player's tendencies, right? If you let James Harden go left all the way to the rim, you're going to get cooked. If you send him right without staying close and allow him to step back, you're going to get cooked. Jaylen Brown.
How about leave him alone in the corner?
Jaylen Brown, you never leave the corner at the end of a game for a wide open three to the hottest player on the court. Excuse me, bug. You never do that. You never do that. So all those little things like that, Rach, is way more important than Embiid or Harden having a big game. Boston blew that game. Why did you wait so late to go for a shot when you down one, knowing that you might need a tip in or an extra shot? Like, a lot of those things are showing that the experience that they showed last year with making it to the finals under Ime, they lost some of that. They lost some of that because a lot of the games that they lost, especially in these playoffs, is because lack of concentration, lack of paying attention to detail, and just playing free basketball and not understanding what's at stake in the playoffs. Each possession counts. So I'm crediting James is playing well. He proved me wrong. I said James couldn't get 40 multiple games in the playoffs. So I stand corrected. James is doing that. But the way Boston is playing and not paying attention to detail and giving James Harden a great score, one of the best scores we've ever seen, Rates, to go left and to be able to go right, and they're just giving him whatever he wants, not taking nothing away. I don't see them really focused on winning this series and paying attention to detail the way Boston normally has in the playoffs.
I agree with that. I think late game execution and X's and O's, and I spoke about this on ESPN the other day, and we all know that sometimes you take the end of the game. Sometimes coaches don't want to call timeout because they don't want to allow the defense to get set, so you go and you run because you have players you can trust, and I get that. It didn't work. If you get that same opportunity again to close the game in overtime, you have to call a fucking timeout, and you have to get your two best players involved in either Tatum, and not that they don't have faith in Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart is a motherfucking gamer. He's hit big shots his whole career. They trust him taking those shots. But you want to get your two best players in a situation that one of those two guys are going to get the shot. So, again, I kind of gave him a pass for not calling a timeout at the end of regulation, because there are a lot of coaches in this game, Steve Kirby and one of them that I played for, that just go. I got guys out there I can trust. Brown, Smart, Tatum have been here. Yeah. I trust them. I don't want, 76ers to set up on defense. They got a shot. It didn't go. Okay, you get that same opportunity another time in the same game in an overtime situation, you have to call a timeout. So, Jack, I think that's a great point of just Mazzulla learning on the fly. He's done a great job this year taking over in kind of hostile situations, but there's still some learning to do on his side, and I think he understands that, and he'll grow from this. One thing I also wanted to add was Embiid is not healthy, and I think the only reason why he is playing is because he was named MVP. He's dragging his leg. Huh?
And it's the playoffs.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Well, he's just been named MVP, where he could have been named MVP the few prior years, and it's the playoffs. And now they have a chance to win. So I think Embiid is playing on a leg and a half. You know what I mean? So I think it is crucial for James to continue to be partly that dog we saw in Houston with the intelligence that he's shown that he's grown over here with the 76ers. Because if you think about it, everyone used to say, well, you can't win with James scoring 50 and doing all this shit. So he's just like, okay, maybe they're right. I'm going to change my game. So now I'm a 21-10 guy, but now you guys are saying that I don't have it no more. So I think he just needs to say, fuck all of us and whoever else is talking out there and be himself, because he is one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen. But I think he needs to look for his options, because outside of Embiid, I want James. If it's not Embiid taking the shot, I would want James taking the shot. Obviously, we know other guys have to get going, but James has to be a little more selfish and stay aggressive, knowing that Embiid is not fully healthy. Embiid is still going to give you 30 on a leg and a half, but James has to be up there. They have to be one of those, Jokic and Murray duos, or KD and Booker duos, as far as scoring every night. Those two have to do the bulk of the scoring and hope some of the others are able to step up.
We got a little bit more rest for Joel before this next game because of the early start that they had in the last game. It's like a 2.5 day rest. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm still looking for him. I know. I agree. He's hurt. That knee is not good. And there's no question about that. I'm not expecting miracles, but I do think he's the MVP and he's the leader of that team. He's right. The best player. And I want to see him. I want to see him have a monster game. I just, as a fan of the game, I want to see that at some point. So let's get to the legendary moments of the 2023 playoffs, because they live on forever as collectibles on NBA Top Shot. The conference semis continue. The best highlights from each matchup will be available as limited edition video collectibles that you can own. You can start your collection today with the new NBA Top Shot app, and you can go over to NBATopShot.com. Every pack you buy between today and May 31st will also enter you to win a VIP trip to the NBA draft. So guys, here is my question. Who do you think is going to show up big in the conference semis and give us the highlight worthy moments? Who do you think in the next round, Boogie, do you feel is going to be the guy that we are talking about the most?
East or West?
I don't know. Let's go West.
West, I think it'll be somebody. I think I'm going to go with Anthony Davis. I think he's on a tear right now defensively. I think he's pushing his team to new heights. In some people's eyes, the Lakers are overachieving based on how they started the year off. So I can definitely see Anthony Davis being that guy in the West. And when it comes to the East, I'm going to go with James Harden. I think they got a great chance of getting past the Boston Celtics team, just of how they've been playing lately. The health is kind of up and down with Embiid, so it's going to force, a little more responsibility on James Harden. And I think we have a chance to see the James Harden of old, where he is coming out just playing this game. The 30-point, 40-point, 50-point triple-doubles. I think it's still there. It's just up to him to go out there and do it. So I'm going to go with those two.
Stack, you give the seal of approval?
That's two good picks. I'm gonna go with Tatum. I think he's due to explode. He's been struggling. He's still trying to figure it out. I think he's just due to explode, Rach. And we've seen him do that and just go on the tear. So I think he's due. But I'm gonna go with Murray from Denver. People ain't been talking about him. He's been balling. He's been doing his thing. I think this next game, he's gonna have a real breakout game. I think we're gonna be talking about him. So I'm gonna go with Tatum and Murray.
Now this is this series, right? This is not the Western and Eastern finals, right? We're talking about this round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, Nate, okay. Producer Nate's telling me. Yeah.
Okay. Booker, for me, I've just been so impressed, and I think you're so right, Boogie. I think he's on the way to being a superstar, but these playoffs are going to stamp him. He's been absolutely incredible. Consistency, shooting a 60% from the field type 40-point games is insane. So. I got Devin Booker on the road, and I just believe in Boston so much. I want to say Brown. If Jack is going to go Tatum, I want to say Brown, because I think he's one of the best two-way players in the game. He's always looking to explode, plays with a gang, a lot of confidence. So that's not to say that I don't believe in Philly, because I really like Philly, and I'm rooting for them for a lot of different reasons. But I'm really a fan of this Boston team and the Brown and Tatum duo.
Look, Jaylen Brown, despite leaving Harden alone in the corner at the end of game four, he has been Boston's best player this series. So it's a great pick. I also want to say Kevin Durant does not get enough credit for the multiplier effect. I want every time we talk about Devin Booker and how legit amazing he has been. And obviously that comes from D Book and all the work and time he has put in. But he said it himself. He does not get half of these looks if Kevin Durant was not on the floor with him doing all the shit that Kevin Durant does. So I'm sorry. When we talk about KD and how good he is, it goes beyond what he does himself. It is the effect on other players. And we are seeing it right now with Devin Booker. I just think we need to include that in every conversation. Yeah.
And some of them shots Book hitting, though, KD ain't got nothing to do with, Rage. Some of those threes he's shooting up with two people on him, that ain't got nothing to do with KD.
I agree. I'm just saying that it changed. Devin Booker wasn't playing like this in previous playoff series.
No, I agree.
Right? In previous years. Yeah,
definitely. KD, I think we touched on everybody.
I think we touched on this on one of these What's Burning at the very beginning when Book was cooking. We called it the KD effect, Rachel. I think it might have been just you and I. And I agree, Jack. Book still has to make these shots, but you got to think most of the time you're probably going to put your best defender on KD.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So although he's going to get – Book's still got to make the shit and make the move, the best player is normally on KD. So I completely agree. And I love and I think we saw this – not to get off track, but I think we saw this a little bit when KD was with Golden State, where Steph would go off. And obviously Steph is great. This is not taking anything away from Steph, but KD is 7 feet tall. So he probably got the best defend, and Steph was going off and doing it, and then came – When they were able to get into the finals, that's when you seen KD go on a tear. So if Book can continue to do this and KD kind of play his part and they be able to get through this next round, it's going to be scary, because that's probably the scariest duo left in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Those two. Because those guys could fuck around and combine for 91 game. I mean, that's how good both those guys are scoring. But I agree, Rach. It's definitely the KD effect, and he's not getting the credit, because Devin Booker deserves a ton of the credit because he's out here cooking. But I definitely see that it wasn't like this before KD got here, and that's not even a knockout Book. It just is what it is.
I just think when we talk about the package of what Kevin Durant brings to your team, there's a million things we talk about, right? The shot, everything that he does with the ball. But you also have to talk about this. This is a part of his game, is that how much he makes his teammates better and how many more opportunities he gives them. We just got to talk about it when we talk about the package of skills that he has, because we're seeing it again with Devin Booker. All right. You can start your NBA Top Shot collection today. NBATopShot.com. Get closer than ever to the game and the players you love. Sign up today.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Let's move on to the odds, gentlemen, on the radar, presented by DraftKings, the only sportsbook you need this postseason. Wednesday night's games, the Knicks at home, 3.5-point favorites. Stack, do you think New York can force a game 6?
Absolutely not. Jimmy Butler's going to go to New York and have an unbelievable game. It's going to be one for the ages. You know how everybody have a big, all the stars have a big, just that big one, that one big game in the Garden. This is Jimmy's right here. And it's going to be amazing, Rachel. Strap your seatbelts.
Woohoo!
I think they can. I think the crowd at the Garden is going to be rocking. Basketball, that'll be the last game of the season in the Garden. I think they'll be able to get it back to Miami. but I think when the bus gets back to Miami, just bring an extra bag because you can start your vacation after game 6. But I think that they can. I think the Knicks can. I think the Knicks can get it back to Miami. But I think the bus will stop there. But because I know the Garden is going to be rocking. These guys understand they want to put on in front of their home crowd, and I think they will. Even if Jimmy has a good game or a big game, which he has these entire playoffs, I think the Knicks can get it back to Miami. But just bring an extra suitcase and just start your vacation after Game 6.
Boog, what do you got? Who you got?
I'm rolling with Matt on this one. I think the Knicks can get one more. But, yeah, it's definitely time to pack your bags when you get to Miami. The Caribbean is about an hour flight from Miami. So,
yeah, so I'm saying there's a lot of little islands. Saying, there's a lot of little islands right from Miami you can go to.
Go to Puerto Rico. Yeah. Go see Boog. Hey,
come take me out. We're an hour flight away, baby. Yeah, so.
right there.
I think this series is over sooner than we think. Like we said earlier, Miami has just flat out dominated the Knicks. So I don't expect anything different.
All right, let's get to the other game of Wednesday. Lakers-Warriors. Golden State is 6-point favorites. I actually couldn't believe 6-point favorites. I know they're at home. Matt, are you surprised, first of all, at the odds? And also, do you believe that that's accurate?
I don't get, you know, I've been looking at these odds of late because I've been doing more in-game commentating, and it's so crazy. These odd makers are so fucking good. Like, how do they know?
They nail it.
Like, how do they know these scores? It's crazy to me. But, yeah, I do have the Warriors going back to the crib and just taking it one game at a time. Although this is supposed to be the game that AD explodes offensively, so they need to watch out. But I feel like going back home, you know, some of their players that had off nights will get back on. We would love to see Jordan Poole find his rhythm. And I think Golden State takes this one game at a time. Their goal is to win at home, get it back to L.A., and then get it back to the Bay if they possibly can. And like I've been saying, the Lakers, if they're going to win this series, they need to end it next game or in 6 games. Because if it goes 7 games, I just feel like, you know, the Warriors' pace and experience is going to override the Lakers' length and ability.
Well, that's interesting, too, because the pressure changes a little bit, right? The Warriors, if they win the next game, especially if they have a big game, right? everybody knows where game seven is.
Right.
So, Boogie, do you think that the Lakers will start to get a little tight if they do get it to, if the Warriors can get it to a game six, do you think then the Lakers can feel a little tight at home, being like, oh my God, we have, this is our game seven. We got to win this one.
Absolutely. This is a dangerous Warriors team. We've said it time and time again. And when it comes to the Warriors, the series isn't over until it's actually over. So as long as these guys have life and fight, it's a chance for them to win it. I'm pretty sure everybody in the Warriors locker room is confident that they can come back and make a run and win this series. And I'm pretty sure everybody in that Lakers locker room is on their toes, and a sense of urgency is flowing through that locker room. Like, we need to get this game sealed and done. So it's definitely a danger there. And, you know, the Warriors are the Warriors. They have a chance at coming back and winning. So it is what it is.
And also remember, this core has come back from 3-1 against Oklahoma City, but also lost a 3-1 to LeBron in Cleveland. So I think there's a little bit of understanding, like, hey, we've been here before, we can do it again, but let's get this motherfucker Bron back. We should have another championship. You know what I mean? So I think there's a lot and a lot of confidence, not arrogance, but a lot of confidence for their core three guys to get the rest of their team ready.
All right, we're going to get to the All-NBA teams because they're being announced on Wednesday as well. Stack, I want you to go first. Who were your choices for first team All-NBA? You're supposed to put in two guards, two forwards, and a center. Although, remember, a lot of guys are listed at multiple positions. And I will say, I will reveal my ballot because I was a voter this year. I do feel like the game is positionless right now. We certainly see guys. The reason they're listed at multiple positions is because they play multiple positions. So to me, three of the best players in the game this year were Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. And they all made my first team All-NBA because they were available to put in those spots. And I thought they were three of the five best players in the game. So I'll start with you, though, Stack. Who would you put in your list?
So I would go Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, Darian Fox.
Ooh, first team? I like it.
Yep. We talking about regular season, right?
Yeah, regular season. And this is the one where you pay, to me, this is the one where I pay the most attention to how many games did they play?
Right.
You know, what was their actual performance? I think when we get into like Defensive Player of the Year or MVP, it's a little bit, the criteria get a little bit more about what impact did you have on the game. But for all NBA, to me, it is a little bit more statistics driven of sort of what did you do out on the floor this year?
Yeah.
And Rach, when you're considering that, do you consider their team positioning? I mean, you're someone who votes. I've never really taken it serious. Do you consider what their team did to or not?
That matters to me.
I do, but not, again, not as much with this. So with MVP, with Defensive Player of the Year, with that kind of stuff, for me, how their team did matters to me, right? What impact they had on the game matters to me. Even if they didn't play as many games, to me, if we're talking about an MVP discussion or most improved or any of those, the impact when you were out on the floor matters to me. For all NBA, for me, and look, every voter does things differently, and that's part of why we have controversy. But for me, when we talk about all NBA, to me, that's really the record of what happened in this particular season with your individual performance. So I'll give you guys an example. One of my guards on first team All-NBA was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because his numbers were ridiculous. And what he was able to do this season was ridiculous. And of course, the Thunder did not finish at the top of the NBA. But to me, he deserved that All-NBA slot as opposed to a guard on a team that did better but did not put out the individual performance that he did. So that's how I look at All-NBA. And everyone does it differently. A lot of people, I am in the minority of putting Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis all on the first team. Most people will say you could only put two of those guys and you got to put at least one into the second team. But to me, it is a positionless game a lot of the time. They're listed at both positions. I'm using that up to say these guys had the best individual seasons. I'm putting them on first team All-NBA. So everyone's a little bit different, but that's an example of how I did the guard slot.
I got my list, Rach. I'm ready to go.
All right, what you got? What you got?
I'm going Shai, De'Aaron, Jokic, Embiid, Giannis. That's first team All-NBA.
Nice.
So say it again. Shai, De'Aaron, Jokic, Embiid,
Giannis. First team.
I'm going those four, and I'm adding Tatum.
So Tatum is going to definitely be on a lot of people's first team ballots. Luka Doncic is going to be on a lot of people's first team ballots. Because again, despite how the team finished, his individual performance this year was sick.
Yeah. So my, here goes my seven, and I'm gonna put five of them in. So I got Steph, Tatum, Giannis, Embiid, Joker, Luka, and Booker. So I'm gonna put, out of those five, I got to put two on the second team.
Yes.
And I think, unfortunately, I'm going to have to move Booker and Joker to the second team.
All right.
And I don't know if Steph is going to make first team.
No, I mean.
I don't know if he'll make first team.
That's a guy who didn't play. That's a guy. And again,
he missed a lot of games, right?
He missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
I think he played 56 games this season.
You're right.
That's tough.
Yeah. All right, Steph. I'm going to have to.
But here's what's interesting. So Steph did make one of my later teams. And the way the voting is supposed to be, it's been reported in the new CBA, is that you wouldn't even be allowed to vote for Steph. Because the reporting is that you've had a minimum of 65 games. And a ton of guys who are going to make these three All-NBA teams wouldn't even be allowed to be voted for. So I think it's going to be very interesting when we do get the final results later this week to see how many of the guys on the three All-NBA teams wouldn't even be in contention and off the board. Which I think, to me, those minimums are a mistake. I don't think this was a good decision by the NBA. I know that they're trying to get guys to rest less, but I'm not sure that that's actually going to matter. I think when it comes down to it, whether you make All-NBA at the end of the year or not is not going to affect whether you play a game in January. And I don't know. I think that it's just going to take away from the stars getting to be stars.
All right, I got my five. I changed
it. All right, let me go.
Shea, Tatum, Giannis, Embiid, Luka.
Okay. And then who are you putting? You putting Jokic on the second team?
Yes, yeah. Him and Booker. I love that Fox got some first team mentions. Definitely
know,
happy
look
with
at that
because he was a killer. But yeah, I think he'll probably be a second or third team this year. I have a question for the group. If we're talking just straight regular season, is Brunson an all NBA performer?
Let's see. I'm looking at my list here. I do not have him. I had on the second team, I put Tatum on the second team, which I know producer Nate is having a heart attack over here. But I put Tatum and Jimmy Butler, DeMontis Sabonis, Donovan Mitchell and Damian Lillard on my second team.
I was going to say, did he even have a better year than Donovan Mitchell? So,
Jalen, you mean?
Yeah, Jalen. I don't see Jalen making one. Honestly.
Yep.
I don't.
It was just a question.
Yeah, I can't see him. I can't see him being put above, you know, some of the other. Dame, I forgot Dame had a few 50 balls this year. Yeah,
Dame averaged a career high, didn't he? Dame averaged like 32 points.
That's what I mean. Dame's on my second team. He could possibly
be first team.
Yeah.
Right?
If we're talking just regular season. Mm-hmm. Can't forget Luka.
Can't
forget Shea. I think, Rachel, you made a great point. Shea killed this year.
Shea was tough. Year. Yeah.
Yeah, he was first team for me. So he's going to be good. It's going to be very interesting because also y'all know that contract numbers are tied to All-NBA too. So I am very curious how this experiment and the NBA and the Players Association is going to work out with these minimums, because I think you're going to see the All-NBA teams in the future. This might be the last year these teams announced Wednesday, might be the last year we see true All-NBA teams. And then from now on, it might just be a contest of how many games did you play, but we'll see. I don't know. Boogie, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Puerto Rico. Good luck on your future games.
Stay healthy
this
out
week.
There, my
we
boy.
Can't wait.
Rach, I wanted to say something real quick before we bounce.
Go.
Obviously, Boogie,
go.
Good luck. If I wasn't engaged, I'd be your roommate out there right now, and I wouldn't be playing. I'd just be moving them in and out for us. But I'm engaged, so I can't do that for you. But I really just wanted to say something to the younger players, Poole, Aiden, even Dylan Brooks. And because I never wanted to be an older dude that sat back and bash younger guys. And I think none of us wanted, like, that's not what we're about. I just feel like all of us came in the game. And unfortunately, Boogie, you never had an OG vet. But some of these younger guys just, I think we're saying what a vet would pull you to the side to say quietly, like to your face, like eye to eye, so you understood exactly what we were saying. Mm-hmm. You know, and we all came in the game with some real OGs. You know, that they put their arm around us. So it's not that, you know, we want to sit up here and shit on you guys, but it's just like this new era feels like they don't have to talk to the media. They make a ton of money. It's all about them. It's not about the team. And it's, you know, as players removed, you just kind of look at it and wish like, damn, if he was a little bit older, I think he would see it different. Or if he had someone that he trusted in his corner, you know, Dylan Brooks, if he has someone he respects, and John Morant, if they has, and that's not to say they don't respect Steven Adams, I just don't know the situation, but it looks like that was one of the teams that needed a vet to be able to pull some of these younger guys aside, like, yo, you guys are great, you guys are this, but this is where we need to focus. You know, obviously, it's hard to say because Dre is a great leader, and we've heard nothing about him but him being a great leader the whole time he's been at Golden State, but obviously that situation early in the season is kind of lost. I don't know if he's lost his touch with the rest of the team, but he's definitely lost his touch with someone like Jordan Poole, who I feel like if that incident never happened, Draymond would be able to put him in a little chokehold, but talk to him like, bro, this is what we need. You know what I mean? And then Aiden. Aiden's always kind of been a wild card, and there hasn't really necessarily been a vet there that's kind of been able to game him. But so when we talk on these shows, it's not to shit on these younger guys or even to try to talk down about them because they're all very talented players. We're just telling you, in our the days, truth. What a vet would have pulled you to the side and looked you straight in your motherfucking eyeballs and told you. It wouldn't have been in the media. It wouldn't have been nowhere. The vet would have just told you right to your face, and I think it would help some of these younger guys.
I agree.
Truth sound like hate the people who hate the truth, bro.
I agree.
See, that's why teams need guys like Boogie Cousins.
Just saying. Facts.
Right?
Absolutely.
There facts. We go. All right, y'all, What's Burning available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball. You can hear more of the truth from Matt Barnes in the future. See ya.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.